Welcome to All Things Arab with journalists Ray Hanania and Ali Yunus. Today's topic, democracy in Egypt. You know, we've seen a lot of developments over the past few weeks, Ali, in Egypt, and the reaction from the West and the reaction from the Arab world. I think when we talk, we get the sense that not everybody wants democracy in Egypt. People criticize me for saying that. Do you get the same feedback? And how do you feel about what's happening?
Yes, before I begin, also a huge reaction in Egypt itself over to what happened in the past 3 weeks, which was a coup d'etat against the democratically elected government.
It was a military coup, right? I mean, you agree that it was a military coup.
Of course it is a military coup. See, in the Arab world, language is very important. A lot of people saying that the street has legitimacy, the revolution has legitimacy, and it created its own self-sufficient, freestanding legitimacy,
right,
which that justifies having the military. What they use the Arabic word to isolate the president, meaning removing him, which is another word of saying coup.
Right.
Which is overthrowing a democratically elected president. Now, well, I'm sorry to cut you off, Ray, but
no, go ahead.
Language matters in the Arab world.
Right.
What happened is when you are removing a democratically elected president, no matter how you call it or what you call it, it is a military coup. There's no such thing as a revolution has legitimacy on its own, because what is legitimacy? Legitimacy means laws. The revolution does not have laws. Revolution is against dictatorship, a monarchy, somebody who is not legitimate, not legal, presiding over the people. And then the people overthrow him and they create a constitution and law whereby and through which they could govern themselves.
Yeah.
Now, what happened in Egypt, they have that after the January 25th uprising that deposed Mubarak.
Of 2011.
Who, 2011. And Mubarak, by the way, there's a legal and technical nuance here. Not too many people mention it. That is, Mubarak stepped down from power. So legally, there was a legal mechanism that created a void. Mubarak stepped
in
down.
In the face of the protests, he ended up stepping down. Then they set up a process of elections.
Yes.
In June of 2012, there were a number of elections. Morsi was sworn into office June 30th, 2012. Then he was in office about 1 year, and all of a sudden we saw this protest erupt. And they said millions of people were protesting, but still, I think that one of the things that people forget is in the election, millions of people voted. 25 million people went to the polls. Morsi got 13.5 million votes, and the opposition only got 12 million. How is it that even a few million protesters have more legitimacy than the election results to throw Morsi out of office with the help of the military? I don't understand it.
Yeah, this is a key point. So which one has the legal legitimacy, the millions of people on the street, or the legal elections, you know, in the through the ballot box? Now, if you have 5 million out in the street, there is also counter demonstrations who have also 5 or 6 or 7.
Right, the Muslim Brotherhood, Morsi supporters, are several million, yet nobody is giving them legitimacy.
Exactly. And on top of that, Ray, there is a huge exaggerations in numbers. I looked it up. Now, the movement in Egypt called Tamarod, which means mutiny,
right,
which, by the way, translate their name wrong in English. They call themselves rebel. Rebel is a verb. You know, you go ahead and rebel.
Right.
But they are a mutiny, actually, because you remember...
They're an illegal coup. They threw out an elected government with the help of the military by force of guns. And it seems, though, that a lot of people in Egypt are accepting it. It seems like the West is accepting it. I don't get the United States, though. Why isn't the United States standing up for democracy?
The United States does not stand up for democracy if this democracy would threaten the strategic interests of the United States. This is, okay, this is legitimate, I can understand that.
Yeah, but how does the Muslim Brotherhood, which is working, you know, and support over the last year with, they haven't done anything, they haven't threatened the United States, they haven't done anything It seems like everything was going well, even if Morsi was maybe new to government and wasn't doing a very good job as a leader. I mean, what kind of, there was no threat to the United States.
Exactly. There was no threat. In fact, President Morsi, among his many mistakes in office, he had committed many mistakes. He did not manage the country, you know, properly. But this, of course, does not justify overthrowing him.
Right.
And no one given the right, the military, to overthrow him.
Yet so many people believe it's okay to do that.
Yes, many millions of people in Egypt believe that. Unfortunately, that's due to the media mobilization of people, campaign of lies and distortion. But back to the U.S. issue, you know, Morsi did not threaten the U.S. interest. In fact, he was friendly to Israel. He brokered a peace deal between Israel and Hamas and the United States last year when Israel attacked Gaza again. So Morsi was in no way a threat to the strategic interest of the United States. But I think what happened is there was I think the United States has nothing to do with the coup, but I think they knew firsthand about the coup before the coup took place and even before the demonstrations that took place in the streets of Egypt. And I know many high officials, military officials, U.S. military officials, have told me in the leadership positions that they knew about the coup beforehand because the Egyptian military was planning to declare a coup.
I think you're right. I think it's obvious that the United States was in favor of this coup. They didn't feel comfortable with it because it totally contradicts everything that the United States stands for. But the fact is, though, they didn't want, why wouldn't they want Morsi? It's very similar to the elections with Hamas. I mean, in the sense that Israel didn't want Hamas. Israel got upset. Israel was seeming to be upset with Morsi's government because even though he said he supported the peace treaty with Israel, he allowed a public debate over whether or not that peace treaty was really legitimate because it was put in place by a dictator, Hosni Mubarak. That had to worry the Israelis.
Yes, but I think in this case here, Israel and the United States were the minor players. They were not the major players.
Well, who was behind it? I mean, or was it just the Egyptian military?
Look, the Egyptian military, well, to understand this situation here, 30 years of Mubarak rule have created a Mubarak regime across the Egyptian bureaucracy, the Egyptian military, the Egyptian media. Everybody was supporting of Mubarak. Now, when Muslim Brotherhood came to power, sure, the Brotherhood members and supporters, they voted for them, which is about 5-6 million people. But add to that, maybe 10 million people who disliked the Mubarak regime, and they were afraid of Ahmad Shafiq, who was the candidate facing Morsi, and who is from Mubarak,
right.
You know, who supported Mubarak, a Mubarak official, a Mubarak prime minister. So people voted for the Brotherhood for fear of Mubarak regime.
So now, in other words, let's just try to give the benefit of the doubt to the people who opposed Morsi. Many of them said Ahmed Shafiq was a Mubarak puppet, that he was put in there by the military. That's why Morsi won, that it was very unfair that other candidates, like Amar Moussa and El Baradei, were disqualified for illegitimate reasons. Do you think the democratic process was legitimate or at least better than they've ever had? I mean, I think it was better than they've ever had. But do you question the election itself?
No, because the election itself, they were fair. I mean, the Carter Center was there. UN organizations were there. There were a lot of scrutiny over the elections. So I believe that President Morsi was elected fairly and squarely in Egypt and legally. So unless he steps down, in my opinion, he's still the president of Egypt from a legal point of view and from a moral point of view. And this is a critical distinction we should drive.
I agree with you. I think from a legal point of view and a moral point of view, Mohamed Morsi remains the president of Egypt. He was forcibly removed from office by the military outside of the democratic process. There was no democratic process that removed him. There was violent street protests at the military back. They stepped in using the protests as the excuse to take Morsi out and basically put him in prison. He's in house arrest.
Yes,
and he may even face trial now. It's almost as if they went back to the Mubarak regime, but without Mubarak.
Exactly. You are exactly right. And that's what my next point, that where is Mohamed Morsi? He is illegally imprisoned. They jailed him, you know, and that's really unthinkable.
And why isn't Obama saying anything about it? Because he doesn't really like the Brotherhood, or because he's a weak president?
Yes, I think what the dilemma for the U.S. Government is that, you know, they okay with Morsi is gone, but they are sort of embarrassed to go to and to say that. They don't want to get embarrassed and say, yes, we support the new regime, because that will legally, under U.S. laws, what happened to Egypt is a coup d'etat, is a coup, and under U.S. laws, the U.S. government is prohibited from supporting any government that came to power through a military coup.
We're violating our own laws, aren't we? Because there is a law in the United States that says we can't give foreign aid to a military coup, and that's what we have in Egypt. Yet, Obama continues to do that, and there doesn't seem to be a movement, although John McCain, Senator McCain, has suggested that they stop funding the Egyptian military, that $1.5 billion that the United States gives to Egypt, $1.3 billion of that goes directly to the Egyptian military. They're almost our military. We fund them.
Yes, not a large part of it. The American government owns the Egyptian military whole, completely.
Right.
That is, all army officers in Egypt have been trained in the U.S. They have excellent relationship with the U.S. military. And there is, within the Pentagon, something called the military-to-military channels. That is, it ensures the U.S. military, have excellent personal and professional relationship with the militaries around the world, especially Egypt, Jordan, Arab militaries. So they know these guys on a personal level. And the Egyptian army gets its weapons, its ammunition, its spare parts, its training, its military doctrine.
From the money we give them.
And from the U.S. So, in essence, or actually in reality, the Egyptian army cannot fight a major war with Israel, for example, because Israel is a friend of the U.S., and the U.S. says, I'm not supporting the Egyptian military to fight my friend Israel. So, if happened to be a war between Israel and Egypt, a major war, not a limited war, the Egyptian army can only fight within 4 to 5 days only. That's my estimation, because otherwise it will run to the ground. They will not find spare parts or ammunition, because all depend on the U.S. and U.S. will say no. So only 4 or 5 days of worth of fighting, the big Egyptian army can fight Israel. They can fight Libya for a month or two, or other country, but Israel, they cannot fight more than a few months, a few days, less than a week. Other Arab armies can only fight maybe for 2 or 3 days or 1 day or maybe a few hours before they get defeated by Israel. And this is the reality of the Arab military.
Right.
Many in the Arab world they're not realized.
They're not really military. I mean, they're great for, you know, straw arguments to say, oh, look, the Arab military threatening Israel, and it becomes a great excuse for Israel to then decimate all the Arab countries. But let's go through each of the major...
And they're great for parades, too.
And, to show off Soviet weapons in the old days.
Yes. And the Egyptian army, by the way, controls 40% of the Egyptian economy. So they are in business as well,
Let's go through the major players, and one at a time. The U.S., we're both agreed that obviously the United States is violating its own principles by supporting a military coup openly, not even, you know, pretending that there's some issue here. They're openly supporting the new military government in Egypt. What about Israel? What's Israel stand?
Israel stands, you know, the Egyptian military, they're friends with Israel, of course. I mean, they got permission.
Right.
They got permission from Israel to deploy some army units into the Sinai. Under the peace treaty with Israel in 1979, Sinai will be demilitarized. Only police force can be in the Sinai. Special limited police force are around the borders with Gaza. So anytime the Egyptian military want to send a brigade, maybe, you know, a couple of hundred men, some armored vehicles, they have to get permission from Israel. to do that. And they have done that. So there is cooperation, as it was, in fairness, with under Morsi. So under Morsi, the cooperation on the level of intelligence and a level of military and diplomatic did not end, did not stop under the Brotherhood rule. So let's not be, you know, fool ourselves that the Brotherhood tried to cut off relations with Israel. You know, on the contrary, they cut off relations with Syria, not Israel. So that's, is, you know, in all fairness and to be fair in my argument. So as far as Israel, Israel in a win-win situation, as the U.S.
As they always are.
Yes, in
Israel,
a win-win situation.
Israel wants to see this because it totally throws Egypt into disarray. And that gives them many, many years more of this phony Egyptian peace accord. In other words, with the Syrians fighting, with the Egyptians fighting, with the Palestinian split, what does Israel really have to worry about? None of them can even find any time to deal with, you know, addressing Israel's illegal, you know, actions in the Middle East. Now, what about the Egyptian people? I mean, obviously the Coptic Christians don't like the Muslim Brotherhood. There's a lot of anti-Muslim racism among the Coptic Christians. They were not happy with the Muslim Brotherhood, but the Muslim Brotherhood won the election. It almost sounds like these secular groups in Egypt prefer a benevolent dictatorship to an open democracy. In other words, a benevolent dictatorship like the military will protect them more than they felt the Muslim Brotherhood would protect them.
Well, the military, Egyptian military, is not the benevolent. They massacred people.
I agree. But I mean, in the view of some of the secular, you know, Egyptians, they may view the military as being benevolent. Obviously, the Egyptian military is behind some of the worst atrocities that have occurred in the Middle East and are continuing to kill people and protesters. Remember when they protested in Tahrir Square 2 years ago and Mubarak's military shot and killed protesters? That was outrage across the world. Now, when the protesters are the Muslim Brotherhood demanding that democracy be reinstated and the president be put back in office, the military is massacring their people and nobody is saying anything. Everybody's saying, well, you know, those guys are terrorists.
On top of that, the Egyptian military now, they are filing, some people are filing complaints and they're going to charge President Morsi.
Right.
With
they're going to trump up charges. They're going to
that trump up charges
just
against
the way
them
Mubarak and Saddam Hussein did.
Yes.
It, the Egyptian
of murdering
militaries.
Of murdering Egyptian citizens and dealing with Hamas as an enemy organization to harm Egypt. So because they claim that Morsi, while in jail, he called Hamas to come and free him from prison in 2011 when it was chaos and the prison system in Egypt collapsed and many prisoners went out. Now, it's sort of like insulting to one's intelligence. You know, Egypt is a state, its army almost 500,000. It has a huge intelligence apparatus and intelligence, layers of intelligence, yet Hamas and Gaza could come to Egypt and operate freely. The truth of the matter is that the interior minister of Egypt under Mubarak, he opened all the Egyptian jails, let all the criminal elements, and including the political prisoners, some of them were the Muslim Brotherhood, he let them out and he announced to the demonstrators and protesters at Tahrir Square that all the criminal elements in jails are out. So you guys better go home because all these thugs will come and kill you. And it happened. So the jails were let open by the government of Mubarak, by the interior minister, who is in jail now. And they claim that Morsi, now they're charging him for calling Hamas while in jail and charging him for killing people. So really trump up charges, and they're persecuting the Muslim Brotherhood leadership. They're imprisoning them. They shut down their media outlets. So in other words, there's a campaign of inquisition, so to speak, or of terror against anybody who wears a Muslim beard or who is a supporter of the Brotherhood, who is a member of the Brotherhood. So it is unthinkable that when the military spokesman, Egyptian military spokesman, or the leader of the coup, General Abdel Fattah Sisi, says, our hand is extended to all Egyptians. We're not going to exclude anybody. When al-Baradei and other former or other actually current liberals, secularists, nationalists, Arab nationalists, you know, support a military coup, they lose all credibility. And more than that, they lost a lot of respect around the world. They lost my respect, obviously, because they support a leadership, a military, an illegal coup against an elected president. I am not a member of the Brotherhood. In fact, I don't support them in normal circumstances, but I support their right to run for office. I support their right to finish their term and let's judge after that if they were good or if they weren't. So that's the litmus test, in my opinion, through which we could judge whether this government good or bad in the results, not through 1 year in office. And through that year, the Arab states, the secular liberals and nationalists and pro-Mubarak and the Mubarak regime as a whole, without Mubarak, were trying to destroy the government of Egypt while Morsi was in power and creating false fuel shortages, false food shortages to undermine the Morsi government. Yeah, and it happened, and it worked.
There's no doubt that they're avoiding the issue of the fact that the military destroyed the democratic process because the United States, Israel, secular Egyptians, not all of them, but many of them, and the Arab world don't want the Muslim Brotherhood in power. They didn't like the election results. They love the idea of elections, but in reality, I don't think, and I wrote this, and I think we both talked about this, the Arab world doesn't really want democracy. The Arab governments don't want democracy. The people are not used to democracy. No Arab, I have not met someone from the Middle East on my Facebook page or online that says that if someone is elected they don't like, they'll support him until the next election. That's what democracy is about, and in Egypt we just saw that those Egyptians refused to accept that important principle. Democracy can't work in the Arab world. So what do? We just accept military dictatorships as long as they're our friends. If they're our dictatorship, we'll accept them.
But see, Ray, and also, why did thousands of Egyptians took to the streets, or millions, but thousands of them died trying to overthrow Mubarak? For
what
nothing?
What did they die for? Just because they didn't like Mubarak, maybe, and they wanted a different dictator.
No, they died because they want a better life. They died for democracy, but someone else came and stole that democracy from them, the military. They lied to them.
People, though, who said that the people who died for democracy are martyrs and heroes. They're the ones that stole the democracy. They didn't like. They love democracy until it doesn't do what they want.
But and also, that speaks to the Arabs how we function, you know. But me and you wrote about it and talked about it before, that we want everything or nothing.
Right.
So either we
there's no such thing as compromise, and democracy is exactly about compromise and consensus. You and I came up with, and we can both take credit for this line. The irony is that the Arab world and the Arab countries would prefer to have Israel than to have democracy in their countries, in Egypt.
Exactly right, exactly right. And they are working and dealing with Israel. They don't want to see democracy in Egypt. You know, and the West is even worse. I know we both, you know, talked about it and discussed about it. And a lot of your great ideas come from our discussions. A lot of my great ideas come from our discussions and discussions with others, either on our social networks pages or through our columns. But, you know, the fact of the matter, Ray, that we need to continue to talk about it and write about it. Otherwise, we'll be complacent like everybody else's. And I believe there are a lot of educated Arabs around the world, and they are open-minded, that they're not easily fooled by the propaganda that goes on. It's almost like Nazification of Morsi, or Nazification of the Muslim Brotherhood. You know, make them as the enemy, and that is, you want to kill them all, eradicate them all, or just, you know, take them off the face of the earth because of the amount of hate that people have received from media outlets, from officials who were, you know, a year ago calling for democracy, but now on the side of dictatorship now, unfortunately.
Allie, I agree. And as we're things are still not resolved in Egypt, the United States, though, isn't going to do anything. the Israelis are not going to do anything. They want to shift the focus back against Iran. Many Israelis are saying that it's outrageous that you and I and others would try to stand up for Morsi. And the truth is, I don't support the Muslim Brotherhood. I don't support Morsi. It's not, to me, the issue isn't, you know, whether Morsi is a good president or not. To me, the issue is democracy is a good process. And if you don't elect somebody you like, you don't go into the street and then destroy democracy just to put somebody else in power. I didn't like George Bush, but I sat back for 8 years doing everything I could do legally to see him replaced. It took 8 years, but we have a new president. Egyptians don't seem willing to wait. They seem impatient. And I think that's because they're very Arabs are very emotional because they've been oppressed all their lives. They've never had freedom. They don't know how to deal with it.
Yes, and you know, not only they try to destroy democracy, they destroy their own country. And speaking of emotional, you are an Arab, Ray. I mean, you are emotional too.
Very emotional.
Were you oppressed in America?
No, but I'm not as I am not emotional to the point where I would destroy democracy because I don't like a president who is elected. Most Arabs in Egypt, as we saw, millions of them were so unhappy with Morsi, they were willing to destroy democracy than to allow it to work. They didn't believe that they would get their rights in 4 years when Morsi's term was over. In fact, he'd only been in office 1 year. All they had to do was use the democratic process to challenge him, to correct what he was doing. They didn't want to do that. They didn't want to wait. They didn't want to be patient. They were very impatient. They wanted him out of office.
Yeah, and we've talked about this in our radio show in the past year about Morsi and the Brotherhood, and we counted Morsi's mistakes, you know, his fumbling, you know, all the time. But in no way we called for his overthrow,
right?
Because we don't like him. I mean, both of us, you know, we're not necessarily supportive of the Muslim Brotherhood, but we support the process and we support their right. They have the full right, even if we disagree with them, even if they are a different religion or different race or different ethnicity than we are. We should nevertheless, if we call ourselves that people who call for democracy and better life for our people, you know, we should not be hypocritical and, you know, try to depose him because I don't like this guy. You know, we should sit and wait and see how he works and support our country.
We should be patient. But I don't see patience in Egypt among the Egyptians. And to be honest, I don't see patience among many of the Arab countries. They want something now. If they don't get it now, they get upset. They couldn't wait for Morsi to be to change or be removed from office in 3 years. There was a democratic way to change Morsi. Instead of choosing democracy, they chose the military. That's the perplexing thing about this, that when it came to a choice, the Arabs in Egypt preferred to unseat democracy than to stand by it. And to me, in the long term, that undermines democracy.
You're absolutely right, Ray, and I didn't mean to put you on the spot. It's why I've been emotional. But we all know that you can get.
No, I believe that we've been oppressed as Arabs. We've been occupied. We've been oppressed. It's only recently that we've only been allowed to express ourselves, and we still are very limited. You know, you and I, if we were to write that the destruction of democracy in Egypt is wrong, most of the Arab newspapers would refuse to publish that column. So how much freedom?
They already refused to publish your column.
Right, yeah, they have. No one will run.
They refused to publish our articles because we stand up for democracy.
As long as I beat up on Israel, that's okay. But God forbid that I would stand up and question something that might contradict what the Arab world wants. Suddenly I become the bad guy. People who love me as long as I attack Israel. And I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to stand up for democracy. Democracy applies to Israel, democracy applies to the Palestinians, and it applies to Egypt. Any final thoughts, Ali?
Well, I think we should also create some sort of public awareness. First of all, you know, Morsi is detained. You're not president of a country. He is detained, and no one is actually calling for his release, you know, except, you know, the United States have called, you know, in the past couple of days, asking for Morsi's release. But I think Morsi is under pressure. Now they are investigating him as a criminal charges, and they try to pressure him to step down. I don't think he will step down. He was elected legally as the president of Egypt, and he should not step down. And also we should raise awareness that, you know, we should support democracy, and we should call the coup in Egypt as a legal coup, because it is a legal coup. It's not a revolution to overthrow a democracy. What happened in Egypt was a revolution against democracy. You don't have revolutions and against democracies, because democracies are rule of the people. The people rules, and they have a constitution. It was ratified by 64%. So what happened was an uprising made by the Mubarak regime without the face of Mubarak on it, without Mubarak's stamp on it, but it was a Mubarak uprising made by Arab states and the secular Arab nationalists and those who hate the Muslim Brotherhood government, thinking that if the Muslim Brotherhood stay in power, they will stay forever. I don't think they will stay forever. This is a false argument, in my opinion. But I think we should create more awareness among the people that they should stand up for democracy, not necessarily for the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that the issue comes down to democracy. And I don't believe that Egypt has democracy today. I don't believe that the people who are supporting what's happening in Israel or in Egypt today support democracy. I think what they're doing is they're willing to have a new dictatorship as long as it does what they want to do. And that's only good for a minority of people in Egypt. Even if we agree that 5 million people protested against Morsi, that 5 million represents less than 3% of all the Egyptian people. 25 million people went to the polls and voted. That was 35% of all the Egyptians in Egypt and more than 70% of voting age people. They went out and voted, and that 5 million is undermining what 25 million people did. To me, that's wrong. It's totally disturbing to me, and it's a shame for the Arab world that we would allow this to happen and allow a new version of dictatorship to take over a country like Egypt.
Well, the Arab world, the Arab regimes are very happy. I assure you that not a lot of Arab people are happy about it. But the Arab regimes are very happy that the ouster of the Brotherhood government in Egypt. And you know, ironically, in the past year, during Morsi's year in power, Egypt was suffering from fuel shortages and food shortages. The same day of the coup, all these shortages disappeared, which tells you they were manufactured by anti-Morsi, by the Mubarak regime, without Mubarak, of course, and by the Arab governments who are supporting the military and the secular pro-Mubarak and anti-Brotherhood government. So the Egyptian people were suffering under Morsi economically, not because of Morsi's doing. I mean, this is made by other elements in Egypt in order to dismantle democracy in Egypt with Morsi's as the president of Egypt.
All right, Ali, listen, we got to do this podcast again. Thanks. I'm glad we had a chance to talk about it. I'll talk to you later.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye. You've been listening to All Things Arab with journalists Ali Younis and Ray Hanania. Remember to visit us on Facebook at All Things Arab.